Dr. Irvin Yalom is the author of Staring at the Sun, Overcoming the Terror of Death. In the book, Yalom, an emeritus professor of psychiatry at Stanford University, confronts the demanding challenge that everybody faces, overcoming the terror of death. In the second part of an interview we conducted earlier this month, WMNF spoke with Dr. Yalom.
Really, the point of this book and why I've named it as such is that if we stare, there's an old proverb saying two things you can't stare at the sun or at death. And I'm saying in this book that we want to stare at death, you know, because if we do that, we lose our terror of death, but also the confrontation with our mortality of knowing this is our one life and we want to live it in the best possible way that we can. I think that's a good wake-up call. And I have a chapter in the book called The Awakening Experience, things that can really wake us up to our own mortality and cause us to change the way that we live. And we all know about many of these, you know, about the midlife crisis when children leave home and you suddenly are aware of the fact that you're already getting into midlife or older middle life, and the loss, you know, you lose someone that's very important to you, say through death. And important part of grief is not only the loss, but also the sense that you too will eventually be facing the same kind of mortality, and that this is a way to a wake-up call for you to live the life that you wanted to live.
We're speaking with Irvin Yalom, who's the author of Staring at the Sun. Dr. Yalom, you work a lot with dreams, and you write about that a lot in the book. Now, as a therapist, what do people's dreams tell you?
Well, the dreams about death anxiety, I think, tell me a lot because, you know, we contain our anxiety about death. We don't think about it very much, but I think it's always there, knocking at some interior door. And dreams, well, and we do that in our dreams too. We contain it, but then sometimes it sort of death leaks out, and then it comes out in nightmares, dreams that wake us up. All nightmares are a dream about personal mortality. And we wake up in panic, are frightened, and I like to look at these dreams very much. And I think nightmares are very important to look at in therapy, especially nightmares that tend to have been repeated, dreams that we've had over and over again throughout our lives. So yes, that's a part of depth psychology that I think is important, and something that's too little done in contemporary therapy when there's so much economic, emphasis on we want to do this in four or five, six sessions or so. That's all very fine, but the fact is you can't simply mandate that we're going to do full therapy in that period of time. It doesn't really make sense.
You write that that confronting death ultimately allows us to reenter life in a richer, more compassionate manner. Is that what you try to achieve, basically, with people who have these fears and these thoughts?
Absolutely. And there's a very, very long tradition for this, all through philosophical and history and the words of great writers. If we confront our deaths, it can change the way that we live. You know, the most famous example of this is the Christmas Carol and Ebenezer Scrooge. The beginning of the story, or it's often a play now, he's a very ugly, mean-spirited, unloved man. At the end of the story, he's a very loving, generous person. And what changed him? Well, you know, Dickens gave him some existential shock therapy and sent an angel to take him into the future and witness his own death and witness how people dismissed it and witness how no one attended his funeral. And the very last scene before his transformation was when he was fingering his own name on his tombstone. And then the next scene, Scrooge is a different man. Well, that's the kind of prototype that I think answers your question. Yes, I'd like to change people in that way. I had examples of this. I worked for 10 years, many years ago, with groups with people who were dying of cancer. And rather than being plunged into despair, there was a certain number of them, maybe a third, who really underwent a great burst of what could we call it, personal growth. You know, they became wiser. They said to me things like, what a pity it was that I had to wait till now, till my body was riddled with cancer, to learn how to live. So they changed. They trivialized the trivia in life. They began to spend time with the people they really loved. They were not bothered anymore by unimportant things. So I want to try and help people do that before they suddenly get a fatal illness, and that will do it for them.